Well, good morning and greetings to each one of you in Jesus' precious name. I'd like for you to take your Bibles and again go to 1 Corinthians. We're going to be looking at a couple of verses out of chapter 1 and chapter 2. And I appreciate that the two testimonies that were shared, Ray and also Craig. Craig, I had to think about what you shared. Your daughter didn't learn that by herself. I know she's got brothers and sisters, but she's got a mom and dad who's teaching. And I want to bless you for that. And Ray, I want to bless you for being open and honest. We face struggle sometimes, and it gets to us. So I want to bless you in your response to that and allowing God to work in your life. So about 4 weeks ago, I shared out of 1 Corinthians, and I titled my message, Speak the Same Thing, and I was talking just a bit about unity. Paul was trying to get them to grasp a little bit about unity, what they were facing. Today I've titled my message, Jesus Christ Crucified, and we'll talk about that just a bit more in a bit here. If I were to ask you this morning, and I'm not asking for an answer, but if I were to ask you this morning, who are you? Think in your mind, what would you write down on a piece of paper? If I handed you a piece of paper this morning and said, I wanted those back, what would you write down? Who are you? Some of us would probably get this book out. Some of you have this book. Your names are in here. Mine's in here, and I'm going to say this very carefully. Vonda's is too. But we have a lot of space in there. This is a book that gives us the descendants of Jacob Raber up until 2005. It's a thick book. For some of us, we probably say, oh, I belong to that specific family. That's my identity. Some of you don't have this book. You have another one. And that's where you would say, that's my identity. I go back to so and so. That's where I come from. The interesting thing is, I've been doing some digging in this, and this is just on the side note. If you go back far enough in this line of descendants, there is one family that came from Pennsylvania that came from, I believe, Switzerland. And they have a whole row of kids. And there are some of us here this morning that come from one of those children. There are some of us here this morning that come from one of the other children. We all ended up in here. So we have an identity. When I was 15 years old, we did a 1,200-mile move from the farm where I grew up on to a totally different location. The first Sunday that we were there, the pastor invited us and his wife invited us to their home for lunch. And I still recall standing in their living room, and it was an outreach church, standing in their living room, and the pastor's wife came around and she was asking our names. And we were all given our names. And when she came to me, she said, you're a Troyer, aren't you? You must have come with the Miller family just to be with them. I said, no, sorry, Troyers. I have nothing against Troyers. I said, no, I'm not a Troyer. I'm a Miller. My identity was questioned. I belonged to the Miller family. I wanted to make sure that she knew this is my family. All of us want to belong, don't we? We want to be a part of something or someone, somewhere. We want to belong. We want to be, we want people to know where we're from. to me, it doesn't matter so much, this book. That's descendants in this life. Yeah, that's good. But I would a whole lot rather have people know that I identify with Jesus Christ crucified. Turn in your Bibles, if you're not there yet, to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to look at verse 1 for a bit. I'm sorry, verse 2. And this is Paul saying, this is who I identify with. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I had to ask myself this question as I looked at that. Is that who I am? Do I want people to know that I belong to Jesus Christ who was crucified for me? That was Paul's testimony. Paul, before he was Paul, when he was still Saul, was traveling along and he was doing what he thought was right, and a really, really bright light. Most of us know this story. A really bright light shone. He fell down. A voice spoke to him and he was given direction as to what he was to do. After he met Ananias, he knew what he was supposed to do. This is what happened, I think. Try to get me to the next one there, Mano. For some reason, we are not moving. The verse will come on here in a bit, I'm sure. But this is what happened. Acts 9:18, it says, "And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized." Instantly, Paul wanted for people to know, I identify. This is what happened when he met the Lord. His identification changed. Jesus Christ and Him crucified are the one who was crucified. Paul knew what his crucifixion meant. He knew the cost. He knew that without taking this place, there was no opportunity for eternal life. Do I realize that this morning? That there is no other way except through this identification of being a child of God. We have one that stands with us even today, pleading our case. There's a verse in Romans 8, and I'm kind of trampling on Sam's territory here a little bit. Romans 8, verse 24, verse 34. "Who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ died for us and was raised to life for us, and He's sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us." I don't know what that does to you, but I want to identify with somebody that's there pleading my case. He is at God's right hand. This is where we get hope. I believe it's an identification all of us need to desire. If we jump back to chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians in verse 2, Paul kind of gives them an idea of who they are. What he sees, the Corinthians, their identification. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 2 says, "Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus," that was an identification, "called to be saints," we already talked about that one, "with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord," both theirs and ours. They had an identification, and we're going to find out as we get into chapter 3 a little bit later, their identification wasn't all as good as this looked, because there were some struggles amongst them that they were given into. And we'll catch that later on, not today. Let's look at a couple other verses about identification. Ephesians 2 says, "But God is so rich in mercy, and He loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, He gave us life when He raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved, for He raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus." He gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. We're not looking so much at the resurrection today. I don't want us to forget that, though. It's an extremely important part of this. But he gave his life when he raised Christ from the dead. Ephesians 2, verse 10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus under good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." We're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Chapter 2 here of 1 Corinthians, Paul begins telling them how he's coming to them. He says, "I'm not coming to you with any fancy speech. I'm not coming in anything but in the power of God." Paul identified with Christ, saying that it's not about me, but it is about God. It's about his power. That's how I'm coming to you. Not drawing attention to himself, but directing the attention back to Jesus, to his Father. He wanted his Father to be lifted up, to be honored above all else. Paul came in weakness, it says. It says he came in fear, and I believe this fear that he's talking about was more of a reverence. A reverence for God. Helping the Corinthians understand that serving Christ was not about following specific teachers. In the first chapter there, he talks about the different men that they were trying to follow. He's trying to make it clear to them, it's not about that. They had chosen people to take place at the connections that they should have had with God. And I believe that's something that we struggle with from time to time in our personal walk. At least I know I do. I allow things that are around me to bog me down. I get blinded by the activities around me. Maybe it's not so much that I lose my direction, but it becomes clouded, and I can't see clearly what he wants of me. And I wonder sometimes if it would not be good for us if we just step back a little bit. Just take some time, seek the Father, and ask him, "What really are you doing in my life? What am I missing? What do you want me to see? Are my ears hearing?" We talked a little bit, I heard that this morning about our ears. Are my ears actually hearing how the Spirit's speaking to me? Or am I deaf to what he wants me to hear? We forget the big picture, don't we? Just be honest, we do. And we become inward focused. And we forget those that are around me. We were in Thailand, as most of you know, for a couple of weeks. We don't have a bunch of idols sitting around here in the U.S. In Thailand, you see a bunch of idols. I'm talking about some statues that are, Chad, how tall would they be? Sheldon would know too. There's some that are very, very tall. I'm talking probably 90 feet or more. Statues that they actually, idols that they actually bow down to and worship. Little spirit houses all through town and in their backyards where they actually bring drink and food and they set it, hoping for something good. We don't have those here in the United States. I've never seen one. Oh, I've seen the little things maybe on a dash or something, maybe a little Buddha or something. But overall, we don't have that. But I wonder sometimes, what do we have? What is our identity? I think it's important that we think about that. Paul said in verse 17 of 1 Corinthians 1, he said, "I didn't come to baptize. I came to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect." Paul wasn't saying baptism is wrong. But he was saying, I have a mission that God gave me. That mission is to come and to preach, to share the good news, to share the gospel. Baptism is important. It's something I think maybe we need to discuss a little bit. But that's not why he came. He says, I came to share the good news. Again, I want to read 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1 and 2, Paul's declaration. He said, "And I, brethren, came unto you, when I came unto you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Paul states this in another area too. In Galatians 2 verse 20, he says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Christ liveth in me. He gave Himself for me. He loved me, and He still does. That was Paul's identification. So we've talked a bit about identification, who we identify with. It's a term that we use. Paul talks about being crucified. Now, I should probably have done a lot more digging in this than what I did. But if you look at the cross, and we think about crucifixion, this was a place of horrible torment. It's easy for us today to walk around with a cross on our shirt. How many Bibles do we have this morning with a cross on it? I'm just kind of curious. If you got a Bible with a cross on it, raise it. So we have a few here. We like putting the cross maybe on the bumper of our car on the back side to show we're believers. If they would have done that in the time of this writing, it would have probably been the same as putting this on the back of their donkey. Instead of a cross, it would have been an electric chair. Today we look at that, and that is a form of punishment. For people to actually be on this chair, to be strapped in, and for the power to be turned on, it was a way of taking life. And I don't want to look at that picture too long. It isn't a good picture. But it's reality. It's still used today in some states. We have on the front of our church house, the south side there, this picture, a cross. We understand today what the cross is about. That cross is empty. Jesus is no longer on it. We don't look at that cross as being today as being a form of punishment. We know what it was back in that time. It was the worst. And that's where Jesus went for us. He took the worst. I had to think as I looked at that cross, a picture of that cross, it would be beautiful. There's a way we could create a tomb underneath that cross with a stone rolled to the side. Not only is the cross empty, but the grave is empty. And because of an empty grave, we have an identity with Christ today. But yet the choice is mine. It's yours. What identity will I have today? 1 John 3:4 says, Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. And ye know that He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. He came to remove those sins from us, to give us the opportunity to be a part of Him throughout all of eternity. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That word all includes me. It includes you. We all need a Savior. But that's not the end. I want us to know that is not the end. God's law says you are guilty of sin against a holy God. Justice demands your life. Jesus said, take my life instead. I'm all over the fact for a while that the same person who created me, who breathed life into me, sent His Son to give me eternal life. Not only was the beginning of my life with Him, but my eternal life is also with Him because of that breath of life that He breathed into me. John 15:13 says, greater love has no man than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Jesus gave us that example. how he came and he laid down his life for us. Romans 8:32 says, since he did not spare even his own son, talking about the Father, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? He came, Jesus came out of obedience to his Father for you and I. He was willing to pay whatever it took. He was willing to nail our sins to the cross, even though we deserved death. I want to read a couple of verses out of Romans 8. Verse 35 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. That is a beautiful verse. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is his security. Nothing can separate us. We are secure in him. And I realize there's a lot of gaps that I left this morning as we jumped around a bit here. But I want us to realize that we have a choice. Our identity in Christ is not going to come automatically. The Father draws us to himself, but we're the ones that have to say, yes, I want to identify with him. Turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 25. We're going to read something in unison here in just a bit. I told you wrong. There is no Revelation 25. Revelation 21. Glad nobody said I got it. Revelation 21 verse 8 says this. I want us to realize this morning that there are two destinations in our walk with Christ. This is the one that I hope none of us take. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall take their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Friends, that this morning is reality for those who choose not to identify with Christ. And let me remind us, when we come to the end, when he returns, there's not going to be any time to say, hang on a bit. It will be done. We're not going to end there this morning. We're going to end on a positive note. I'd like for you this morning to stand. And I'd like for us to read verse 6 and 7 of Revelation 21. We're going to read that one together. Revelation 21, verse 6 and 7. Let's read together. And he said unto me, it is done. He that overcometh, did you catch that promise right at the end there? He that overcometh shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he shall be my son. I'm going to read one more verse, and then we're going to close. And this verse will either bring to you a sense of warning, or it's going to bring to you a sense of joy. Revelation 22, verse 7 says, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. He is returning. How does that make you feel? Hallelujah. I love to hear that. He is coming back for His church. Am I identifying with Christ? That is the question this morning. Who will I identify with? Let's bow our heads for prayer. God, we thank You this morning so much for sending Your Son that we can have life. Lord, I pray that You would move amongst us here this morning. You help each one of us to take thought of where we're at, to take thought of the direction that we're headed, to take thought of who we are identifying with today. I just thank You this morning, Lord, that You have made a way for us by coming and giving Your life, that we can identify with You. Thank You that You are at the right hand of the Father right now, pleading our case. We just want to bless You for that. You have been so faithful, even in times when we're not. Thank You for being long-suffering. But we also want to thank You this morning that You are just, that there will be no sin in heaven. Lord, we plead Your blood on our lives this morning. We realize, Lord, that any righteousness we have is not our own. It is from You. And we bless You this morning for that. Would You direct us this week as we separate from here? And I pray that it be a week, Lord, that we would all seek to know You just a little bit more. We bless You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.